This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Cleveland Golf. I would ask if you're familiar with their wedges, but considering their presence in the short game for nearly four decades, I would think I'd be better off celebrating their understanding that all skill levels require wedges that promote confidence while maintaining a high level of performance. With the addition of Zipp Core technology, I think Cleveland has taken nearly 40 years of innovation and presented one of the best wedge experiences available. For more information on Cleveland Zipp Core wedges and their full lineup, visit www.clevelandgolf.com.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me for the second time this week is Mr. Roger Teat of Moto Caddy. How are you, my good man?
Dan, doing well. Thanks for having me again. It's been a while. I appreciate it.
It has. The first thing I noticed when you came in is we do have a bit different backdrop, so things have changed dramatically, at least from where you're sitting. Different part of the room, different office. What are we doing?
Yeah, different part of the room. Yeah, I got to mix it up for you. Make it look like we're keeping busy here. So just shifted to the opposite wall and got some different decor.
Yeah, I think you're just trying to make sure I'm paying attention. I know you've got a Whistling Straits flag behind you. Have you played the Straits?
I have. Fantastic okay. Trip. And then my little map there, it's top few hundred in the U.S. Trying to check off, you know, one at a time. Excited. Next week, I know we'll talk about it. I'm sure Bluegrass is on there. So yeah. Excited to put a pin in that one. First trip to
Nashville. Is it a pin map or is it?
It is.
Oh, that's so cool. I thought about doing that, but I play like all my rounds at my home course. So might not be the most beneficial. It looks like you've got a lot of activity on there, which is really cool.
We've got a couple on there. I think if it was filled up, it would mean that I'm not working enough. So luckily there's a lot of golf to play and some more pins to put in there.
Yeah. Well, we're just about to get into June. How's the year going for you guys over at Moto Caddy?
It's going great. Very exciting year two. In the U.S., it's crazy to say that. It feels like we've been at it for quite a while. Really just trying to keep up with demand at this point. So supply, we're a bit short right now. 3 to 4 weeks out on M7s. You certainly can find them at other retailers across the country, which is great. But demand has really been off the charts. So trying to keep up with supply. It's been an exciting year, too.
So I have a question that stems from that just straight away. As you develop new products and look towards the future, do you make decisions based on current inventory as to when you're going to release for one, what's going to stay in line for two? How many of those decisions are based on current inventory?
So certainly probably what's going to stay in line. I'm trying to release the latest and greatest as fast as possible. There's been a lot of buzz, obviously, with our startup here in the U.S., and people are super excited about new products. I'm certainly not holding back on future developments based on what I've got on hand. So as soon as we have product ready and it's kind of the right fit for the market, I'm certainly trying to bring it as fast as I can.
Yeah, and the U.S. sounds like it's a little bit of a different animal. I know there are courses out there, my course, excuse me, that are way behind the eight ball in terms of adapting to new technology for those who prefer to walk or push or, I guess, remote, if you will, their bag around the golf course. But does it landscape look different state to state or even country to country when it comes to using these types of devices?
Sure, certainly country to country. So if you compare us to home base in the UK, Ireland, Scotland, you know, you're talking about a market where 90% of golfers walk. I think the stat is 85% of those use electric carts, but they electric caddies, I should say. But they've also had that technology for about 30 years or so. You know, okay. that product, that category is still very, very new to the U.S. Definitely state specific and even kind of market specific in those states. So you certainly have regions that, one, maybe the courses, you know, not every course in the U.S. is walkable. Mostly those are distances between greens and tee boxes more so than slope. I've heard a bunch on hilly courses, golfers not thinking those are walkable. And my response is always, you know, if you weren't playing golf, could you walk the golf course? And if the answer is yes, then it's a walkable golf course. having an electric caddy, right? Because you're not carrying or pushing. So that definitely alleviates a lot of the hilly terrain. There's some places, a lot of resorts specifically, courses where, you know, if there's a quarter mile between greens and tee boxes, probably not one you're going to walk. And then climate, you know, is a big issue. And it's not only where it gets super hot. There's some locations where it'll be hot. They'll get the standard, you know, 2 o'clock rainstorm for 30 minutes that blows over, gets humid. Those are maybe a little bit tougher in general walking circumstances, because you don't really know what to expect while you're out there, unless you're just packing, you know, 10 pounds worth of gear in your bag, which again, you certainly can if you're not pushing or carrying. But it's been pretty widespread. So we've shipped to, I would say, aside from Alaska, every state in the U.S. So there's certainly walkable golf courses throughout the entire region. Some certainly more focused. The Carolinas, for instance, Northeast. California is the biggest walking state. So this is our biggest sales state here. Pacific Northwest has been strong. You got locations, you know, Florida's a lot of resort. Arizona's a little tougher walking there. So certainly some regions.
Yeah, I've known the conversation around resort courses. We've had this discussion on THP over the last, you know, 15 years or whatever it may be, that there are places that walking just isn't really a consideration, but there are also a lot of places where walking is preference. And we're talking exclusively in the United States, not going elsewhere, because it sounds like it's a totally different landscape. But yeah, I feel like, is there a trend where some of these courses that would be traditionally we must ride or we must choose this have been more accommodating to these styles based on the fact that you have this motorized item that isn't going to necessarily slow people down?
Absolutely. You know, pace of play, to your point, is definitely a big thing. And studies have actually shown, I know that we've talked about it, I think on our last podcast, that four golfers walking versus four golfers in two riding carts, it's actually faster, especially with electric, as you're not getting tired towards the end of the round.
Assuming apples to apples, right? Because this is a big debate. You know, two slow walkers will not be as fast as two fast riders. But when you put the same people in the same condition and you give them opportunity, that is actually pretty close, right? Mm-hmm. If not favoring those who go straight to their ball as opposed to one, then to the other, then to the green. That's the real debate, because I know you're going to get challenged on that.
Well, I'll say the big challenge, right? If you've got a single rider versus a single walker, right? Riding is going to be faster. But if you look at a group of four where two are in each cart, driving to one ball, driving to the other ball, driving to the green, et cetera, versus four walking straight to their ball, it's a bit quicker, obviously, depending on you know, the health of the walker, right? If somebody just is a slow walker, then it's going to be slower. But it's not as far off as a lot of people think on pace of play. You know, COVID, we've talked about it a ton, didn't do a lot of good for a lot of different things. It did a lot of good for golf, and specifically it did a lot of good for walking, as there was just a cart shortage, single rider. Right now, if I know that we were talking earlier before this on just components, I know getting new fleets of golf cars, if you've tried to buy a new car recently, you know how tough it is to get components on the technology side. There has been a shortage of golf cars in general. So, you know, as people are seeing kind of space, the number of golfers playing, maybe shortage in golf carts compared to what they've had in the past, it's opened some eyes a bit on allowing more walking. And, you know, this being really a few years into the market, it's definitely growing. The last research I saw was about 9% of golfers that play use electric caddies at this point, which if you look just 2 years ago, was probably less than 1%. So definitely a growing category that people are catching on to, and I don't see it slowing down.
Yeah, I'm curious, when with the adaptation of this for individual golfers, there's the collective who've always pushed, you know, they've started to grow into this condition, and you see it a lot on the college circuits where the guys are pushing now, as opposed to carrying, which when I grew up, you either carried or you're a big wuss. So, you know, that mindset of like, maybe it's a little bit smarter if you're especially playing competitively, that you don't lug around a heavy bag for the entire 18 holes. But as we move into golf courses, I have kind of two questions. Number one, do you offer fleet options for golf courses? And number two, do you think having those features there becomes more encouraging for golfers to say, you know, this really is a technology I'm not ready to buy into now, but now having tried it, I totally get it and want to be a part of it?
Sure. So yes, on all the points. We do offer fleet options to golf courses. We've been using our M5 GPS product line for, it's really a perfect rental model, especially having the GPS on the handle. Maybe for golfers that haven't played that course, they're seeing it for the first time. Having distances to greens, hazards, etc. has been a huge feature. That's also the absolute best demo model, right? So our hope, obviously, is for a bunch of revenue to come to a course with another avenue for rental. Perfect time to try it. I would say this is definitely, especially if you haven't used a product like this before, recommend trying it before you buy it. And then, you know, pushing sales through those shops as well to support Greengrass as much as we can. So perfect way to try the product is definitely using a rental at a golf course. Mm-hmm. And certainly growing. If you look at kind of our UK, Ireland, Scotland market, which is, again, what I'll always reference since that's home based, you know, they're in over 600 golf courses throughout that region with rentals. It's a big part of what we do.
Yeah. And I mean, we look at the US and we're ahead of the game in a lot of things, but this seems to be something where understanding how engaging and enjoyable it's been for European style play, I think is something we can pay close attention to, you know, and I get that our golf courses in a lot of ways are different, presentation, distance to holes. We use our space here certainly a little bit differently than they do there in many instances, but, you know, certainly my golf course, I see opportunity there to push or remote or whatever it may be. So yeah, I think that's a curious thing, and I'm excited to see over the next year how much that continues to change. One of the things I haven't asked you yet is, you've been here for about a year and a half pushing, and what is visually to you, how much different has it become when you get into these discussions between then and now?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing is just golfers, buyers, head pros are more open to the discussion now than they were a year and a half ago. So when we first came, you know, it's still a very new category in the U.S. When we first started here, it was a brand new category. So they hadn't experienced really not only the brand, but maybe the category product before. I think the biggest thing is the demand from the golfer. You know, they're hearing all the time on, hey, when can we get these? Can we order these through you, et cetera? And, you know, that ultimately drives the conversation, right? As soon as the demand peaks and they get asked all the time about a certain product or a certain brand, they're certainly more open to discussing, knowing that they're going to have some success. And for those that have been with us for the last, I would say specifically year, and they've seen all the success that we've had, again, it just makes it that much easier on the category, new products, you know, certainly booking more, booking in advance, knowing how tight supply is, making sure that they're ramped up for golf season so they're not behind. Those are, I think, that's kind of the evolution on the conversations between then and now is, you know, a lot's happened in the last year and a half. And I'll say a huge thanks to you guys specifically. You see the buzz and all the comments in the forums, you know, that's a big reason why we've had the success that we've had, is that, you know, that's really demand generation. People certainly read the forums, read your site, and that's just opened a lot of doors and opened a lot of conversations.
Yeah. And it's the sort of ease of use thing that you don't recognize until you see it firsthand. And I, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of engagements with push carts, even remote or standard. But when I got the opportunity to experience one of your products, we ran through like a, what does it take video. We show how easy it is to get the thing going. I spent around at a course you'll be familiar with here very soon, using it and just enjoying the benefits, having my own personal debates on what I'd prefer between different types of models and things like that. But yeah, I definitely think the conversation's getting louder. And one of the other things, Roger, that I've seen is this idea of not just push carts, not just automatic carts, but these alternatives to rider carts, like the double rider carts. You've seen surfboard looking things. You've seen, you know, skateboard looking things. I think at one point they tried to make those ridiculous segues a thing, you know, and now we have like things that look more like motorcycles that are out there. Do you see all those as being competitors or positive reconsiderations to how we golf here, which opens doors? What do you think about when you see things like that?
Yeah, I don't see those as necessarily competitors. There's certainly been some products that I think are really, really cool. And I've used a couple. The golf board, I've used it. It's super fun.
Okay.
In general, you know, we're promoting walking.
Yeah.
Right. And better avenues to walk. So our kind of company goal, we want to be the ultimate caddy company, have golfers walking on the course, health benefits specifically from the social aspect on you know, talking with buddies, walking up the fairway. I think there's a lot that comes out of walking that you just don't get with other experiences. So I think other avenues are kind of cool. It at least opens people's eyes to playing golf without specifically just riding in a cart. But I certainly see us as kind of our own category really for golfers that want to get out and walk.
Okay. So we're not going to see the Moto Caddy Doom Buggy personal cart feature in 2024. That's pretty fair.
Probably not on the golf course. If we can make one for some after hours fun, we'll see.
So here's a question. And there's a lot of tie-ins here, and I want to focus on bluegrass a little bit because you will be experiencing that with Enjoy the Walk coming up. But one of the things I've read and heard a lot about, and this was my experience personally when I had the cart in hand, was I am so used to being fully in control of what I own and what I'm using on the golf course. When I let go of it, I start to think like I'm no longer in control. Now, I know this is one of those things where you do it twice and suddenly it's just second nature. But the other thing is confidence, right? And part of that is if I let go of my cart and I watch it go up a hill and down a hill, if it doesn't tip, I'm thrilled. What it seems like with Moto Caddy in my experience was it won't be that feeling of being thrilled. It'll be that feeling of expectation. It won't. I don't expect it to. And if it ever does, something crazy just happened. Like maybe, you know, I tried to take it over like a cliff and it magically fell over, you know. Is that one of the biggest benefits of Moto Caddy, is that centralized control point where you don't have those tipping concerns that maybe some competitors might have?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think letting go of some control comes into play based on quality of product, right? So if you know that the product that you have is quality, you know that the remote is going to work every time. Talking about tipping points, etc., I think you're getting onto kind of where we have, you know, battery placement, for instance, where some might have it towards the back of the cart. Ours is centralized for the best CG where it's not going to tip all over the place. Really the control functionality, it is really, really easy to use. And knowing that, again, the product is going to work every time, I guess eases your mind a bit on losing some control. So
I like that we're sitting here talking about golf carts, just casually discussing CG like it's, you know, another driver in the market.
That's great. Well, that probably comes from, as we know, the 12, 13 years with Cobra CG.
Yeah,
I think I always going to be implanted. And it really does correlate again to carts. So probably for a different reason, you know, we're not talking about launch and spin, but having that thing, you know, firmly towards the ground with that center of gravity, all the weight, you know, that 5-6 pound battery being in the middle of the cart, that makes a huge difference on going up a hill, down a hill, side hills, to really keep that cart stable. And like you said, have faith in the product that it's not going to get away from you.
A couple of years ago, I experienced some of the most consistent wedge play that I've ever had, putting Cleveland wedges into play. Since then, they have introduced awesome technologies to enhance not only their traditional wedge shape, but also their cavity back options for golfers who want to enjoy the benefits of improved forgiveness and shot potential across their wedge face. One of the biggest changes they introduced was Zipcore, which allows them to transfer weight from the hosel into places that really matter, rather than taking away from the contact-specific locations. Add in some spicy toe side rounded grooves for the touch shots, and you definitely have the potential for extreme performance for the better player. But they didn't stop there. They brought Zipcore to their CBX offering, which is a cavity back wedge that houses a gel back material between the face and the back of the wedge to maintain that great sound profile while opening the door to deeper MOI benefits for the golfer who may not hit the center of the face as often. In short, Cleveland has extended the wedge beyond the traditional shape without the cost of enjoyment and precision as we've seen and tested in the THP Tech Studio. For more information on the Cleveland Zip Core wedge lineup, visit www.clevelandgolf.com. I'm assuming there's an awful lot that goes into the design philosophy of the cart. You guys spend a fair bit of time making sure that what you are placing and where you're placing it is for the highest benefit level of the golfer. Is there a ton of trial and error there, or have you guys created a system where you're very understanding what to expect and model to model?
Yeah, so there's a ton. I would say there's probably less trial and error now than there was quite a few years ago, in that we've got a product that we know is absolutely best in market. So it's how do you keep making that product better rather than just starting from scratch every time. So there's certainly a bunch of trial, a bunch of samples, prototypes, etc., to make sure that what we bring to market is something that we're proud to put the Moto Caddy name on. But it certainly gets easier when you have a product as good as M7, say, or M5 GPS, where you're looking at enhancing that. You know what's worked in the past. How do you make it better? Versus, like I said, starting from scratch.
Yeah, and what I love about it, and I'm just staring at an M7 right now, and what I love about the design is the heaviest component is likely the battery, and it looks like it's really in the heart of the unit. And that just visually, right off the bat, gives you that confidence that, you know, things aren't going where they shouldn't be going. But what I liked about it when I added one of your carts in hand and visual is it was very accessible. Once the bag is off, and even probably when the bag's on there, there's freedom to get in there and take a look and pull it out and charge it, whatever you want to do. And I know there's always concerns from folks out there. How heavy is it? How easy is it to get into my vehicle? Now, these are all things that should be considered. And my perspective is that's definitely been a focus.
It has. Yeah, that battery definitely has to be accessible. Easy in, easy out, easy one-step plug-in. You can charge the battery by taking it out of your cart, bringing it with you, or literally if you wanted to leave it in your cart, you just unplug and plug it into the charger. So very easy to get to with your bag on, with your bag off. Everything that we do from battery placement, you mentioned bags, where pockets are, where the strap goes, it's certainly with the golfer in mind and making it as accessible as possible. Absolutely.
Yeah. It looks good. I've one of the things I'm always curious about, and this comes from being a part of a course where you're required to use their fleet and their durability over a year, 2 years, whatever it may be, is not the most enjoyable thing to experience when you're on the latter stages of their life cycle. But you guys have a pretty monster warranty, at least on the battery. What about just the overall product durability? Do you get a lot of claims? Is there an understanding that these things are pretty bulletproof if you treat them right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's everything with electronics, right? There's due to be something to happen to you know, a certain number of products. It's just electronics in general. We do have a really, really solid warranty to cover that. So 2 year on the cart, 5 year on the battery, which will you know, definitely take care of any issues that you've got through that lifespan. We certainly plan on that product lasting a lot longer than that, but that's what the full warranty covers. We really have not had a lot of issues on the warranty repairs claim side. The product is really, really good. I always joke to, especially the US counterparts, that's the good thing about having a home base that's UK, Ireland, Scotland, is that cart better hold up to some weather, because I think they have more wet days than dry days. Yeah. So it's definitely built to last and handle pretty much the roughest terrain, roughest weather that you could have really on the planet. So that's been great.
Well, I saw on your website you have become a sustainable golf innovation partner, and it seems like that's a pretty big deal for you guys. Does that have a lot to do with the battery itself, or can you tell the folks more about what's happening with that partnership?
Sure. Yeah. So we are very proud partners of the GEO Foundation for Sustainable Golf. So they've been collaborating with partners from golf, government, business, science for over 15 years with the purpose of helping accelerate sustainability in and through golf. So we are a very proud partner, as we understand how important sustainability efforts are, especially when talking about batteries, as you mentioned. So a couple kind of things about our history. We were the first to offer a 5-year warranty, as we mentioned, on lithium batteries in 2012. in 2018 were the first to run a caddy trade-in promotion that offered golfers an incentive to purchase a new lithium-powered model from lead acid. So moving out of lead acid into lithium while having their old cart recycled. So something that I definitely want to bring to the U.S. It's going to be development as we keep progressing here. As like I said, it's kind of year two for us. We've also invested in eco-friendly polystyrene-free packaging and kind of now looking at future too on our upcoming products, looking at recycled materials for golf bags, accessories, etc. So sustainability, we know how important that is. And we're really proud and happy to be a part of it.
So the idea is reducing waste and using waste to create new product, which is super cool. And it's nice to see that in golf, considering that we are outdoors trying to enjoy it. So the longer we can do that, the better, I suppose. While we're on the topic of what's to come, you have some pretty cool stuff in development. We've seen some conversations on THP. I know everything that's happened over the last couple of years has made deadlines or due dates or go live dates challenging. And are there a couple things you'd love to share that are down the pipe? You don't need to say dates, but things that we can get really excited about coming from Moto Caddy.
Sure. Dates TBD. I know we've discussed quite a bit in the forums, which people are really excited about, which is awesome. So Pro 5000 GPS rangefinder, I'm super excited about. And obviously M7 GPS that all of our friends know is coming. They've certainly been held up on the development side, really more than anything because of the war that's going on. So that's a lot of our GPS development is in Ukraine. That's been a little tough on timing, obviously. So Pro 5000, I'm actually testing prototypes in both right now. They've been fantastic. I might have something to show our fellow THPers next week, which would be fun to show them some of the new stuff.
Awesome.
So hoping for probably midsummer on Pro 5000, planning on call it mid-fall on M7 GPS, obviously subject to finalizing our GPS, our app development is really what we're waiting on. But like I said, testing first prototypes now, it's been a lot of fun, working great, really excited to bring those to market.
Do you think that, and obviously your company is moving in that direction, so there's an assumption that there is a lot of interconnectivity between GPS and rangefinders, but you know, I'll openly admit I had a couple units. I've had a rangefinder in the bag for a while. I had a GPS sitting here, so I foolishly bought the year to actually have both in play. So it seems like there's a bunch of added confidence of having that extra information from a GPS, but that laser accuracy of a rangefinder is hard to ignore. Do you think that is the future for rangefinders, to have that added build-in?
You know, I do, and that's certainly where we're at in our future. So as mentioned, with Pro 5000, there's a GPS element in that, to where you'll get actual distance, slope, and get front and back of the green through the sight, through the scope. So there's
right
no
in there. That's cool.
Right, yeah. Right in the sight. Yeah. So there's no looking at the side of the unit, no looking at a separate app. For those GPS fans, I will say, anybody out there, please go and download our Moto Caddy GPS app. So it's free to use. There's 40,000 preloaded courses. It'll get you, you know, overhead view, front, back. It's literally a full-on GPS unit. So the same information, the same GPS that's in our M5, that's going to be in our M7 on your iPhone, Android, etc. So please go check that out. That's going to be the app that'll tie into the Pro 5000, feeding it the GPS yardages, which is great. So there's a lot of benefits to both. I personally like, you know, GPS from kind of a 30,000 foot view, if you will, see kind of overhead view, but I'm a laser guy. I want the actual, you know, down to the yard, even though I might be, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12 yards off. I like knowing actual distances.
So I've always said there's a lot of optimism in using a rangefinder.
Oh, a ton, right? And it's, yeah, the best when people ask if it'll go down to the foot. I mean, I guess you could make it that way. I don't know anybody that good, but like I said, best of both worlds, and that's where I'm excited about Pro 5000, because it really gives you everything that you need through the scope, through the site, real time. It's going to be a cool unit.
So what made you go with a GPS app? I know there are a few out there, and I've never really personally used one. I hate using my phone when I golf, but I'm a really unique person as it relates to that. I read all the time about people who use their phone, whether it's through GPS or whether it's through something else, to incorporate with golf, you know, some of these things that track your stats all run through the cell phone. So what encouraged you folks over there to take that and make an app and especially make it available to everyone?
Sure. So honestly, we needed to do it anyways for our GPS product. So it's an app that correlates right to M5 GPS. We've got a different GPS unit in the UK, M3, M7 that's coming, obviously, with our rangefinder. So it's, you know, it's something that we had to have built anyways, and, you know, might as well give it away while you're at it. So
yeah,
you know, getting people on our brand really familiar with us. It's been a great introduction, honestly, to a lot of golfers in the US that haven't heard about us. Hey, download our app, see what we're about. Obviously, as we're, like I said, set to be the ultimate caddy company. Big part of a caddy is giving you yardages. There True. You go. So it's been good.
I want to create some sort of debate as we go into this. and one of the things, and I remember doing this while I was using your product, I had the push dial, the speed dial that's built into, I believe, the M5 is what I was using with the GPS, and the counterpart there, which will not be named, was a remote. And I sat there and I debated whether I would prefer the dial versus the remote. And it sounds like that is not just an individualized debate, but more of like a localized debate too, where are there certain populations that prefer one over the other?
Sure. It's funny, as we were talking about different markets and coming to the US. So on the US side, we're probably 90%+ of our sales are remote. I think they're 65-35 the other way in the UK. And, you know, a lot has come up on why. So for the US golfer, really remote was kind of a thing when that product was introduced here into the US. So when electric caddies came, remote was already a feature in a lot of models. Not the case in the UK. So they started with non-remote. And I think more than anything, that's what golfers are more used to there. The good thing about M7, when I get the question on, hey, should I get remote or should I not? M7, you can use either way. So with the M7 remote, obviously the remote feature there, which is fantastic if you want, you know, as much of a hands-free experience as you can get. Or again, if you're not either comfortable with the remote, if you're by the putting green going across a bridge, you still have the dial on the handle, set the speed, hit the button, walk with it, you know, hands on, full control, hit the button to stop. So I think that's the good thing about something like M7, is that really is best of both worlds.
Okay. And which one are you?
I'm an M7 guy for sure. Yeah. Definitely will be M7 GPS. The GPS functionality on M5 and what's coming in M7 is ridiculously good. I love having a remote. So, you know, it might be a walking down the fairway with a more than likely cigar or a cocktail. As hands-free as I can get. I'm a big M7 guy for sure.
Speaking of that, you guys offer a lot of accessories for your carts. Is that like drink holders, umbrella holders? Is there like a go-to for you? If you had two or three accessories you'd put on your own personal cart, what would they be?
So I'm definitely an XL drink holder guy. For reasons mentioned prior. You know, Carlsbad, California, I think we've joked before, we don't get a lot of rainy days. So umbrella holder is kind of a nice to have, but it's, you know, really not needed if it's
more
raining.
For that
probably not going outside.
Sun, yeah, more for the yeah,
exactly.
sun, the rain, I get it.
Device cradle is great. So that's, you know, something to throw on the top of your cart that I keep my phone in there. I'm a music guy on the golf course generally. So having even that, or, you know, we use a bunch of score tracking apps, Golf Genius, et cetera, at the club that I'm at. So easy to have that kind of out in front of you. Really, that's it. You know, scorecard holder is awesome for those that honestly keep scoring a scorecard. We're using, like I said, usually electronic. It does have the tray to keep a couple golf balls, some tees, loose change, et cetera, on there. So it's a kind of nice storage unit there.
Kind of hides but underneath too, right?
It does. Yeah. So it's a tray that slides out of the bottom. Nice little storage unit. You know, if I've got a cup holder and that device cradle, I'm generally good to go.
I love it. I appreciate the honesty, man.
Sure.
It's rare. Let's talk a little bit about Enjoy the Walk. It's an opportunity for THPers who Two of them been selected to take a trip down to Nashville with you. It sounds like it's your first time there. You'll be playing Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club, and Mizuno's along for the ride, so you get to hang out with Mr. Vachal over there. And the guys are getting basically treated like royalty. They got lodging, they've got golf, they've got new Moto Caddy swag, they've got new Mizuno swag. It's going to be pretty ridiculous. How crazy was it for you to put this together and get excited to think that these two guys are going to basically have their minds blown for an entire weekend and beyond?
Yeah, this is super exciting. And I'll say that the feedback, all of the kind of back and forth, I think we're on 17 pages, I believe, last time I looked, of comments on the forum for it, which is fantastic. Talk about just an engaged group right there. Mm-hmm. And I think the coolest part is not just the two guys that won, right? So we're obviously, I'm super excited to see them, see Vosh next week, see JB next week, which would be great. But all the support from that forum, I mean, it just shows how tight-knit, how close that group is, which is fantastic. So yeah, this was, you know, JB's idea, really, that to start the year, we were chatting about what can we do? How do we get a cool event? Obviously, like I said, 12 years at Cobra Puma, I see what you guys do with them, and I'm super jealous. You know, I kind of mentioned to JB, hey, we got to do something, right? This is too much fun being missed out on. So he kind of threw this together. Vosh was cool enough to jump in, and he seems, you know, they seem excited about joining as well, which is fantastic to have them. What a great partner there. So it came together pretty quickly and, you know, just kind of built. So I know that it's going to be a great week. Excited to gear up these guys next week with some M7, some accessories, some golf bags that they picked out.
We've got one
dry bag, one hydro, which is sitting there waiting for them, which would be great. I saw actually Scooby posting yesterday, maybe today, about his current setup with bag twisting, falling off, talking about easy lock. So it's going to be cool for them to experience and, you know, have them kind of do forum test afterwards. So have them kind of spread the message on their experience, what they're seeing, the product that they're using. It's going to be a fantastic couple of days.
So I don't know if you know this, Roger, you probably don't, but Scooby, whose real name is Tim, actually lives about a driver 9-iron from me. He's just down the street. So my hope is that he gets this new product home and just rips down the street with it to my place so he can show it off, you know?
we'll need that filmed and posted on the forum for sure. That's awesome.
That'll be good. And Mike there, he's a great guy. He'll have a lot of fun with you too. What I want to know is you and Vosh, man, who's winning that match?
It's going to be our first head to head. I don't know. Hard for me to bet against a Mizuno guy. I know the product that they create, and if he's been using that for 10 years, it's the product that I used in college. So I know how good it is. I've heard he can get it around. So we'll have to, I might have to negotiate some shots on the first tee. Usually, well, you know, matches are won and lost on the first tee, as you know. So
my recommendation is to get him on that, the GC quad beforehand, Coeur d'Alene number 14. Ask him what the lake name is there on the left side of the hole and see if you can rattle him a little bit. I'm not saying I'm rooting against him. I'm just trying to get you a little leg up here. Who knows if he listens? Yeah.
Is there a lake Vachal on 14 at Coeur d'Alene that I missed when I was out there?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. He had a moment there, an emotional moment, a very fun one at that. So yeah. But in terms of Bluegrass, I think it's an absolutely wonderful place to showcase the abilities of your product. There's significant hills up and down. When I used it, I had full confidence in the bag. I even tried to get it going a little bit, going up a hill, kind of give a little shove to the top. And it just seemed like it wanted to hang on. So it'd be a lot of fun to follow the guys experiencing that for the first time. And a very fun golf course to play too. So you better get to the range this week, get those, that driver swing tightened up. You know, the middle of the fairway is a good place to be there.
Usually is. Yeah. We got member guests at my club this week. So it'll be a good warm up for much more important. It sounds like Vosh match next week. So
yeah,
it'll be a good warm up round, get some competition going.
Yeah, so you'll have the competitive juices flowing. You'll be like gristled at that point. Vosh had better go find a big money game this weekend to kind of level set. That's exciting.
A lot of grind mode going for sure. And it was for this event, but I think it might be more for next week. So
yeah, it's gonna be good. Can we get a little sense of what your game's like right now?
It's not terrible. So made a bunch made a bunch of birdies last couple rounds. Hopefully that continues. We'll let you know a week after Friday, I guess.
Okay.
After we finish that one up, I'm sure that there'll probably be some on-course vlogging going on. So
yeah, I'm intrigued that you're not hiding the fact that you're playing some decent golf right now. I love that.
It's been decent, so yeah. We'll see. Hopefully I'm peaking at just the right time.
A couple other questions for you, Roger, while I have you. The bags, you mentioned there's a couple different options coming next week. I know the Moto Caddy options out there are pretty strong. I went through a pretty significant bag hunt earlier in the year, and one of the things I was constantly looking for was a little bit of added spice to the presentation. Now, I know you guys are like a European focus or starting point, but will there be an opportunity to see Moto Caddy get a little bit more spicy in their bag presentation options, or is that you guys going to maintain that very sleek, elegant look?
Yeah, you know, sleek, elegant is definitely what we generally go for. I'm sure that we'll have some fun things coming down the pipeline that I won't divulge too much now. But, you know, for us, functionality obviously is the biggest sticking point. So what works best with the cart, make sure that it's, you know, fully waterproof, fully functional. The bags are, or the pockets are in the right spots. We do have four models, as you said, now here in the U.S. So Pro Series, Dry Series, Light, and Hydroflex. So those are the four models. We'll have more coming down the pipeline. There'll definitely be a few fun, probably more limited releases that we'll do here in the next, next year or so, which will be fun, and we'll have to get one your way. Keep you
limited release. Interesting.
There might be some short releases here as we come into 23, which could be kind of fun. So.
Oh, that's great. Do you have any other fun thoughts or things going on you want to share with the listeners?
No, I think they've been pretty engaged, and we've been open to what's going on. So super excited, like I said, about the new products coming. M7 GPS Pro 5000 are going to be phenomenal products, great additions. M7 still staying in line, great product that's been leading the way for us. M5 GPS has been awesome. Bags have been doing well. So we'll definitely keep you in the loop as future developments come. But really excited for the year and what's coming down the pipeline in the fall.
Yeah, we've been very appreciative of the engagement from Moto Caddy, especially to the THP community. It's fun to hear those things early and get excited about them. Obviously, we do have a big community full of people ready to talk about new and shiny, as we call it over there. Every week is a ponder. The last bad shot is the best first ponder, right? So, But do you have any questions for me today, Roger?
I'm good now. I mean, you guys have been fantastic. Really, really excited about next week. Would love to get your thoughts kind of after the event and once we start seeing some reviews through the forum. So, cool. You know, as always, if you guys have any wants on future products, anything that you think would be cool, functional, etc., you know, always feel free to throw out my way. We're definitely looking at future product, future development, and you know, like you said, how to spice things up a little bit to make sure that they're marketable. So
let's see. We've got hands-free operation. We've got GPS rangefinder collab. We've got cup holders, which fits the bill on a lot of THPers.
Definitely.
And you know, new product coming. It's always a blast to have you on, Roger. And I'm excited to follow along next weekend. I know the guys are pumped. Have a great time in Nashville. It's a super cool city. I don't know how much you get out to the, I guess that's more like mid, but is it East Coast for you guys? Everything east of what? Vegas is East Coast for you?
Yeah. You know, I moved here from Arkansas, 15 years ago. To me, anything north of us is just, I still call it Midwest. So to me, that's not east. But.
Well, have a blast. We're thrilled that you're involved this much with the THP and enjoy it. And I'm not saying who I'm rooting for, you or Vosh, but we'll see. We'll see if he listens in and gets mad at me.
Love it.
All right. Anyone out there playing golf this week, make sure you have a great time. Make it count. And check out Moto Caddy. They have a ton of things out there. Bags, manual carts. They have automated carts. They have remote carts. It's crazy. Check them out. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Dan.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.